Das ist sie. Mhm.
Mhm. Ja, okay.
Being the child of the self-deaf and you're a social worker, I think you're the best person to ask about how the HIV issue in this community. How do you think it can be curbed?
When we look at HIV and AIDS, it's one of the main activities being looked at or carried out, being looked at in the entire LGBTI community. As Farouk, we have a full project handling this. And we always carry out HIV, AIDS, and STI screening, testing, and management in cases of those found already or see those already having the infections. When we look at the LGBTI community, being that there are very many challenges faced by people in this community, and the most one being unemployment, you find that people have tried all measures of finding a living, and unfortunately most especially the trans women and the gay, especially the trans women, have resorted to, you know, sex work. And, you know, this has also got its own implications.
Yeah.
With sex work, sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes the client wants this, and even if you don't want to, you know, to do what the client wants, sometimes you end up doing that. And to the side of the LGBTI persons, you find that most have been forcefully endured into sex in the name of healing or curing them, you know, from homosexuality or from their desires or how they feel. And of course, we've had very many rapes in the same sense of straightening people, you know.
But therapy, now,
you know. So, but as as Farouk is not a service, it's not only a service providing organization, but we've got very many organizations in the community, in the LGBTI community, that are service providers. And what we've decided to do is to continuously teach people about the dangers of HIV/AIDS, the dangers of having unprotected sex, the dangers of you know, because sometimes you find that people may think AIDS is just a disease, but this is a virus that never heals. It never cures, however much they've come up with drugs that can, you know, that can minimize or that can fight or weaken it, but it can never cure. So with constant sensitization and information sharing in regards to this, it has been and it will always be given to the community. Now there's something I wanted to bring it out, but secondly, I remember we had a problem of health service providers. You know, people had reports of being discriminated and denied access to medical and health care before, but at least now we've managed to identify friendly health service providers where people can go for these tests and other medical needs, that's everything I take, where people can go for these tests and questions about the virus itself, you know, and those who are found positive can easily start medication, as we call ARDS, you know, at a free cost or a simply reduced, you know, a reduced cost. Okay, that there are other measures we've used, like provisional protective materials, like the condoms.
Mm-hmm.
I've been distributing condoms to LGBTI persons. We've also been distributing lubricants. You know, sometimes when people have rough sex, can I say rough sex or what? Okay, well, there's that sex where, and when the membranes are not at least smooth, there'll be because of bruises, and it's these bruises, of course, bring blood, and you find that the skin is open or the membranes are open, so which quickens transmission of the virus. So with the provision of lubricants, at least it can also limit on the bruises, which also play a role in the easy transmission of the virus. Of course, we've also tried to raise these issues to the national level through having dialogues with the service providers in different regions of the country. You know, before we had a problem whereby people didn't think that LGBTI people exist. And they thought if they existed, they were just in maybe a certain island, cocooned there, just a certain island somewhere, you know, just this different group of people there. But with these dialogues, at least we've managed to, you know, show them that these are people you live with, these are your sons, these are your daughters, these are your partners, and we need this to be included in the national health planning, you know. So through those ways, at least you find that still people can receive medication in case there is need, and people can go for testing, and they've also learned to, you know, to live a careful life, to value their lives, because there's one thing I know about the community, that yes, you're receiving external homo or transphobia, but you always also have your inner, the inner battling, you know, because there is time you think of, you know, why am I seen as a wrong person, why is this and this happening. So when you're not strong enough, or when you're not careful, you end up doing things for granted, things the way you want, you know. You end up being reckless at everything, reckless at life. You find that if you go on listening to people's stories, for example, I may say people who are positive, if you go on listening to their stories, you may find that some contracted diseases because of the way they were feeling. There's that time when they're just reckless, they could just live with everyone that comes around. But now with this information given to them and showing them that, you know, the value of life, you find that many have at least revised their sexual lives and their lives in general. You get that? Yeah.
Right. I think that's pretty much it.